You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Hour number two, Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hey, what's going on? Corey Barson to my right, Wall Street Matt Modica to my left. Thank you so much for joining us here on the program today. So, we're getting back to the NFL news in a little bit. But the top stories really today are in the association, the NBA. Because the biggest story yesterday was the firing of head coach of Milwaukee, Jason Kidd. Jay Kidd and the Bucks separate after 4+ years together. And Kidd, known for his rotations, which were horrible, known for driving his players into the ground, both Chris Middleton and Giannis Antetokounmpo are averaging the most minutes in the NBA. And with all of his talent and this nucleus together, he wasn't getting it done. Jason Kidd made a power move, and it did not work, Corey.
Morning, Greg.
Hello.
Yeah, this is the deal with Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd is one of these guys who think because he got a little bit of time in the league, he can come in there and run an entire organization. And he's right. He can run an entire organization into the ground. This Milwaukee Buck team should be playing better basketball than they are right now.
Yep.
Now, I don't want to say he's fallen victim to expectations, but still, when you read a little bit more about the story, infighting with the management, stuff like that, this is typical of Jason Kidd-led basketball teams. So, it's time for Jason Kidd to step aside and let somebody else come in there and take over this job. More than likely, they're going to hire another prima donna. Mark Jackson.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot. You know what? I wish we thought of that yesterday during the basketball show.
I didn't think about it until I left out of here yesterday. But this is a prime job for Mark Jackson right here.
You are 100% right. 1,000% right. Joe Prunty, currently the interim head coach out there in Milwaukee. But I completely agree with you that he's going to wind up. Mark Jackson's going to be a heavy favorite for that.
Yeah, Mark Jackson will be a heavy favorite for this job. Yeah,
hasn't this Milwaukee Bucks team, over the last couple of seasons, always been like underperforming every year? I kind of think they're going to be better than they are. And with the talent that's on the roster currently, I don't know. I mean, I don't think they're wrong to fire Jason Kidd here.
Sure.
So
I don't think they're wrong either.
I think it's who do they hire. That's the key.
That's always the key. I think Mark Jackson, who Corey brought up, I think that one makes a lot of sense. He's going to want that job. I get it. What was interesting here for me, Matt, is you had the star player, right? You had Giannis Antetokounmpo. What came out is like he called Jason Kidd 15 minutes before he found out. He's like, I just heard this news. What can I do? How can I help you? And Corey, you and I talked about it yesterday. It's like, this is the first time Giannis as a superstar is going to go through this.
Yeah.
That, like, his guy got fired and he was distraught about it. He wanted to do everything he can to save the guy's job. It's a good look for Giannis.
No, it is a good look for Giannis, but this is a situation where he'll probably see some growth and improvement to his game, to his NBA career, because you need a head coach in there to get the situation together and work this team right. You can't be in the position year after year coming in that 7-8 seed, because that's a short stay, especially when you got Cleveland and Boston at the top of the conference.
All right, we're going to take a break. A lot more NBA news to cover, including Kawhi Leonard, Damian Lillard, Kevin Durant, Kevin Love. A lot of NBA. It's all coming your way this hour on Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back up with Adam, Roto Experts in the morning. Roto Experts, right here on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm the fantasy executive, Corey Parson. It sounds like I'm chewing on something. It's because I am. I'm holding it down for 1 second. Mr. Sussman went to the boys' room, but now he is back.
I am back. It's good to be back. Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And as I said, the big stories today seemingly all revolve around the NBA. Matt, I wanted to just get your thoughts on Giannis stepping up and trying to save Jason Kidd's job.
I mean, I think it's admirable of him and stuff like that, but ultimately, the higher-ups got to make that decision.
Of course.
And with the talent on this team, like I said before, I don't think it's the wrong move. And if he's trying to make a power play and you lose, you know, that's going to happen. But I don't know. Is Mark Jackson the right guy for this team? That's my question.
I don't know about that.
I mean, I know he desperately would want this.
Sure, of course.
Opportunity. I mean, I'm sure he's still bitter about the Golden State.
I'm sure. I'm sure he is. Obviously, so. Okay, so.
Oh man, and I've been put off to a pretty good start to start the year too.
You have.
It's been a terrible 2 days. We did a live NBA show, and I introduced him. Mike wasn't off.
As soon as they sing the national anthem, I was like, my mic was off. I love Steve Kerr, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, that's my 2020 ticket. Poppin' Kerr. Poppin' Kerr 2020. I don't care who at the top of the ticket, man. Just as long as it's them two. Now, I love Steve Kerr. You think Golden State would have got to this level with Mark Jackson? Or do you think Mark Jackson had to get out of the way for them to succeed?
I think Mark Jackson had to get out of the way.
Now,
I kind of agree with that as well.
Here's the thing with Mark Jackson. Your team will improve.
Yeah.
They'll live up to expectations. But at some point, it's going to be another situation just like with Jason Kidd. Because Mark Jackson likes to have credit. Mark Jackson wants all the credit. And that's what makes Mark Jackson, he has too much of an ego. Mark Jackson's a good basketball coach, but he has a real big ego. But I do think that the Milwaukee Bucks at the end of this season hire Mark Jackson. You ever think JVJ will get back in, Jeff Van Gundy?
That's who I was going to say. I don't think so.
I think Bill Cowher, these guys.
Yeah, I think he's got such a great gig.
He loves it.
And, you know, but sometimes those teams, you get in a team like this, it's enticing, and it is at times hard to pass up. So
the only name other than Mark Jackson I've heard bandied about is David Fizdale, who was the assistant coach with LeBron and Dwayne Wade in Miami.
Oh, that's right.
He was the coach of the Grizzlies. He was fired because he lost the power struggle to Marc Gasol. He's out there,
and Brown is out there too.
Hubie Brown?
Not Hubie Brown. What's your man name?
Hubie Brown.
The Warriors assistant.
Oh, Mike Brown.
Mike Brown.
Oh, God.
Have we seen that Mike Brown story? I mean, look, if you go back 2 years.
You know Mike Brown, the coach, Greg?
No!
Come on.
Remember when we go back when Steve Kerr was choosing between the Knicks and Golden State? Like, that was even.
Derek Fisher's out there. Your boy Derek Fisher's out there.
Oh, I don't know. Who's going to bring Derek Fisher into their locker room when he's sleeping with people's wives? Why would you do that?
He's like, swings.
Yeah.
I just hope they don't do one of these, like, George Carl, Scott Skiles
things. Oh, my God. If I see George Carl.
Or Scott Skiles.
George Carl is the NBA version of North Turner. Turner.
Yeah. Let's do something like what the Celtics did.
Maybe
go to go to college and get that coach that could translate to the NBA.
Right.
You know, not everybody can.
Right.
But
you gotta find the right. You gotta find the right guy that'll do it. And it's not everybody. It's like, you don't bring a John Calipari to Milwaukee. Like, that's not gonna work.
I agree. You don't
bring Mike Krzyzewski to Milwaukee.
Well, Krzyzewski's never leaving.
Oh, of course not. I don't know who that college guy is right now. You know who would be good. You know who would be good, Corey? Tony Bennett. Tony Bennett would work in Milwaukee.
Tony Bennett would be good.
Malcolm Brogdon's his dude, too.
Let me ask you this question.
That would work.
Let me throw a name out to you guys, and let me hear what you think on the pro level, how he would translate.
Okay.
Shaka Smart.
I don't think it would work.
You don't think it would work?
I don't think it works. Because in Shaka's system, you have to run, and it's running all the time. It's a havoc defense. They don't do that in the NBA. They would tire
out. That's why I wanted to ask.
He would lose the power struggle. That would be it for Shaka. It's not working in Texas. You know, it worked at VCU because he's young and hungry and grinders. It doesn't work in Texas.
It's not working at Texas at all.
He's going to get fired.
I'm about to say he's going to get fired in Texas. He's going to get fired and have to take a step back down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least he got paid.
That's true, too.
You can always take that step down if you got that,
would,
you know.
If you want to go big names, you mentioned Shaka Smart. Like, would a Sean Miller work in the NBA? I don't know.
If Sean Miller was to go to the NBA, a scandal's coming.
That's a good point. Pete Carroll style.
Yeah, Pete Carroll style. If Sean Miller leaves, a scandal. He's making too much money in college basketball.
You're right. So, late last or early this morning, I should say, Chris Haynes, ESPN, reported that Dame Dollar sat down with Paul Allen, owner of the Blazers, for a state of the company conversation. And Paul Allen, you know, was very, very nervous that in this conversation that nobody knew was happening besides Paul Allen and Damian Lillard. He didn't tell Terry Stotts. He didn't tell his teammates. He didn't tell Neil Oshie, GM. He, well, just went to Paul Allen and said, I want to talk to you, sir. And Allen's like, oh, God, I just asked for a trade. My life's over.
Yep.
And he didn't do that. He was just like, I want to know. I want a commitment to winning. I want to know what the vision is. Because, listen, I'm 28 years old. Not that I'm getting old, but I'm 28. This is the prime of my career. I don't want to waste it doing nothing.
You seeing your homeboys play in big-time games, national televised games, TV games. They're playing deep into May and June and stuff like that. And you're not there. You're not doing that. That team, I don't want to say had the Warriors on the ropes. That team gave the Warriors somewhat of a fight 2 years ago. Where's that team at now? So if I'm Dame Lillard, yeah, I do want to know the state of the organization, because if we can't fix this, let me know so that this way I can get out of here. Well, I can try to make my attempt to get out of here, go to a place, bigger market, and get some more bread.
Yeah, and it sounds like he was pretty satisfied, Matt, with, you know, with the answers he got. He, much like Giannis, defended his head coach, right? He loves Terry Stotts. What was very interesting was Damian Lillard, he wanted a question. He wanted an example, or explanation, rather, why they traded away Will Barton 3 years ago. That was really interesting to me. He's like, Will Barton's exactly what I needed. Why did you trade him away and a bunch of other crap for Aaron Aflalo? Like, why did that happen?
But you see, there's nothing you can do about that now.
No, but I think he wants answers. I respect that.
I think it's good that, you know, you want answers and you want a vision, and I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
If you would have went to the owner and was like, look, head coach got to go, GM is a moron, and stuff like that, that you can't have. That would just be divisive and tear the organization apart.
I agree.
But from what we're taking out of this, I don't see anything wrong with it.
I don't see anything wrong with it either. I think Lillard's a good dude.
I love Dame Dollar. I think he deserves opportunity to be in those situations. But it's once again, it's tough for these teams. They got to get lucky in the lottery,
yeah,
get that player. That player has to want to stay, and then you got to get other people to come out there and build around them. But nobody's coming out to Portland.
So no, I agree.
At least not right now.
So nobody's coming out to Portland. But one name that was bandied about, and this was the conversation that Lillard had with Paul Allen. I was like, what can we do? Like, what's our targets? And one name they basically agreed upon, according to reports, is DeAndre Jordan. Now, do they have the pieces to trade for DeAndre Jordan? I would say they probably do. I don't know what the Clippers would want. You get the contract off the hands, you throw in a draft pick, whatever. DeAndre Jordan basically replaced the replacement for LaMarcus Aldridge they never had.
Where are they at right now in seeding?
They are number 7, I believe.
You see, the thing with DeAndre Jordan is not a put-you-over-the-top guy, but DeAndre Jordan can maybe get you. You got that top half of that West is so tough. Because who's the fifth seed right now? Minnesota? Oklahoma City?
Oklahoma is the fifth seed.
They can move from DeAndre Jordan moves them from 7 to 6.
Yeah, no.
You see what I'm saying? Then you take on that contract and that, and I think he's a character.
You don't like DeAndre Jordan?
Those commercials, those commercials finished it for me.
Listen, so realistically, they're not going to need, in my opinion, DeAndre Jordan to get them from 7 to 5, because they're a half game back of 6 right now, which is the Pelicans.
Exactly.
They're a game and a half out of 5th. DeAndre Jordan's going to, all right, so DeAndre Jordan pushes them, like, all right, locks them in, let's say, to a 5 seed. That'll give them, right now, the playoffs, and they were a 5 seed. That would give them a first round match against the San Antonio Spurs,
which they can beat.
Okay, so you're interested.
They can beat.
So now you're interested.
But hold on. But you just dropped Oklahoma City, though.
I did, yeah.
See, I don't think you can drop. I don't think putting DeAndre Jordan on that team does not make them better than Oklahoma City, in my opinion.
It might.
Boy, I just called Melo Anthony would have a tough call if that team finished the year 6 seed and get a first round exit. I hate that. Because they're not going to blame nobody else but him. But, If Jordan can put you in a 4-5 matchup versus the Spurs with a second round matchup versus the Rockets, I'll take that.
I mean, what are the other options that they have? Who are the other players that they could possibly?
The player everybody wants to move that's more than likely going to be moved in the next week is DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, I agree. DeAndre Jordan is the most likely guy that's gone.
Now,
I agree.
Now, what about Cousins? What about Boogie? He's a free agent, and so I know teams aren't really going to want to blow everything up for a guy that's a free agent.
Well, the problem is,
Pelicans are in the playoffs. Pelicans have made the playoffs in years. Mm. They're sitting there in the sixth seed, yeah. and they think with their combo of Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, they can make noise. I mean, they think they can make noise.
They can. They can possibly make some noise, but if they that could get be. The retail... Are they signing him?
That would be an interesting spot for Kemba Walker.
You have Jrue Holiday there.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I'm just thinking, is this something that they could rebuild
I don't think so. I think they could re-sign him. And listen,
if that's the case, then,
you're in the playoffs. You can't trade him away. More NBA conversation after this.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Roto-Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you look at what Boogie Cousins did last night, Matt, and this is why I don't think they can get rid of Boogie Cousins.
No, I'm not. Look, the thing is, he's got to be, there can't be any questions after the season. That's my only thing here, because this guy is too good. And that line is just insane. I mean, how many points did he score? Over
44 points, 24 rebounds, 10 assists, 4 steals.
He put over 100 points in DFS, right?
That's a good question. Do you know that?
I believe he had over 100 points.
Wow.
I didn't say nothing. Oh, okay. Oh, I was about to say. My fault. I thought I was talking about the microphone on. Thought you caught me. 44. See, I don't know. That's a good question. 844-843-6879. If you know if Boogie put up more than 100 on DK last night, call that Don Burns. No,
I guess I could just look it up.
I'm almost positive.
I feel like you're right. You seemed pretty confident there.
No, look, I think this guy has what they have, and like you said, they
say it again, DB.
97.8.
And that's all about DraftKings.
That's a DraftKings, Don. say it on the air. All right, there you go. Yes. All right, so 97.8.
On DraftKings. What about FanDuel? I think he might have put up 100 on FanDuel.
I mean, you're going to sign in FanDuel.
I'm just telling you.
Historic DFS night for Boogie Cousins.
Yeah.
And you look at the kid's game, the more he develops, I mean, he's one of the best players in the NBA, the best big man in the NBA, more than likely. He can do it all as far as his scoring, his rebounding ability. He's keeping his head better a lot this year. So Boogie's getting it done. Boogie's a big piece that can put any team over the top. But like you said, Greg, if they're in the playoffs, why move him?
I don't think you should move him. But I'm saying, if you keep him, he's got to be, there's no question at the end of the season where you're playing any kind of hardball with him.
You got to wrap him up.
Yeah.
You got to wrap him up.
That's my only thing.
Yeah. If you got to put his name on the stadium, you got to wrap him up.
Yeah. I get it. And that kind of line, yeah, you have no choice. You got to wrap them up. I agree with that. So let's talk about the Spurs here for a moment, shall we? Because the Spurs, they have a lot of stuff going on. And we talked about Damian Lillard meeting with Paul Allen. Well, Kawhi Leonard, there's some infighting in San Antonio. We're not used to that, Corey.
No, it's not. That's not normally the situation right here. And what you got going on, I think, I don't want to say they're feeling the heat, but you look at the top of the Western Conference. It's obviously the Golden State Warriors, the Houston Rockets. San Antonio's still in that mix, but San Antonio, you're looking at seeding and stuff like that, having to play one of these two teams in the second round, trying to get back to the Western Conference Finals. You're going to need a healthy Kawhi Leonard. I think they rushed him back, and they said, well, you keep hearing what the general manager said, well, Tony Parker's quad injury was worse.
Yeah.
As Dr. A lets us know, two different athletes is two different things. Kawhi Leonard is not Tony Parker. So you rush Parker back. He gets hurt again. Now he's out almost indefinitely. Don't have no real timetable on the situation. I think the players become frustrated because of this. So he's like, listen, if y'all had no business rushing me back for those 9 games, you knew I wasn't ready. So I think that's what happened right there. I think Kawhi is a little bit upset about it. Him and his agent probably had, a talk with the management over there. So, yeah, the San Antonio Spurs got a little bit of cleaning up to do. But, it's going to be tough for them to advance any further past the second round without Kawhi Leonard. But you know, I can see why he's upset, because you don't want to rush a franchise type player like that back from injury. So that's more than likely what happened. I wouldn't be surprised if Kawhi was uncomfortable coming back for those 9 games and they kind of talked him into coming back.
I think they totally mismanaged this thing. And as we see with the NBA, it's more about getting yourself in position come the playoffs and stuff. So I don't see why he wasn't rested early, why they made him come back. But if healthy come playoff time, this team just seems to always find a way. And
they had a 20-point lead. In the last game where they were fully healthy, they had a 20-point lead on Golden State in Golden State.
What's interesting to me is that this is the second Spurs player that we heard have issue inside the organization. First was LaMarcus Aldridge last summer, and now it's Kawhi Leonard. Is RC Buford and Greg Popovich losing something with this team?
I think you're looking at a situation where you have a dominant team in the Western Conference, and it's not the San Antonio Spurs. And I think that's probably rubbing them a little bit the wrong way. Situation with Aldridge last year, Aldridge was put in a tough spot. Never was really a good fit. He wasn't used right in their scheme. And then you saw the fan backlash when the playoffs started and Aldridge couldn't carry the team. The fans turned on them. The fans turned on Aldridge. I didn't think Aldridge liked being looked at like that. That's why I think he went and asked for that trade. So they had to fit this. Pop had to change his scheme, his system,
correct,
to fit it more towards Aldridge, because Aldridge is a big piece on that team. Right. And like you said, Pop said, I'll gladly drive you to Golden State and bring back Kevin Durant with me, but that's not going to happen.
Right, and I think
but if
you're
you look
right.
at the four guys they had in the past, like that four core,
sure.
David Robinson, you know, Tim
Duncan,
and then you got, you know,
Ginobili
and Parker. These guys never mouthed off. You really never heard nothing. They were company men, system guys. So
they were winning too, though.
Yeah. But, I mean,
and there was no dominant team in the Western Conference then.
I mean, that's the thing. Now, yeah. I mean, San Antonio is so far above. You put San Antonio in the East. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's tough. And now you have teams like Houston. I mean, OKC. Minnesota's a team up and coming. So it's like where I think maybe it's
the Spurs are the forgotten team.
Yeah, and they're seeing the slippage.
So, I don't agree with that, because they're still in the top half of the Western Conference.
No, they are.
And what they needed to do was Greg Popovich needed to change the offense. He needed to change it, because it was not going to be, if without Kawhi Leonard this year for all but 9 games, if they ran the same offense they've been running for the last 20 years, they would not be this good.
No.
They tailored it to LaMarcus Aldridge, who they signed to this big contract. And you know what? LaMarcus Aldridge was basically like, listen, utilize me. Use me. I am not this old man.
No, LaMarcus Aldridge can play.
I can play.
Yeah.
So build this around me, and I will bring back success. And that's what's happening.
Okay. I just think it, you know, it's not just the top heavy teams here. I think there's much more competition here. You saw, you know, it's more like super teams in the West now. Everybody's got them, so it's not what it was. So, and if a guy like Leonard's not going to be healthy, that's, you know, that's a major blow.
It's absolutely a major blow. Let's see if he can come back in time for the playoffs, which is really all that matters in general. Also with the Spurs, we're talking about this core four that they've had, or this core three, depending on the year, certainly. But Tony Parker goes to the bench, and it looks like DeJounte Murray, the new starting point guard for the San Antonio Spurs. I think that's really interesting. A little bit of a changing of the guard there, Corey.
Yeah, you see what, you know, and Tony Parker said the right things. Like, Tony Parker was like, listen, it's Murray's time, obviously. Tony Parker said he's felt like he's hit a wall, so the minutes need to come down some. Murray's a better defender for that team. Now, he's not going to give you what Tony Parker gives you offensively, but DJ, Parker said it right. It's his time. So Parker steps out the way. DJ's the starting point guard now. It's an improvement defensively, and you know, DJ can get on the glass too.
The Spurs, of course, trying to just fight for playoff positioning. We've been talking about that throughout the morning. We'll see if they're able to ultimately continue their run here. Now, other major stories in the NBA, because it doesn't stop. What was this Kevin Durant and Capella story, Corey?
All right, so after the Rockets, obviously, the Rockets and Warriors, for some stupid reason, they've already played 3 times, and they're not going to play again.
Correct.
Likely until the Western Conference Finals.
Yes.
So, I believe after one of the games, Clint Capella said something more or less to the lines of, we can beat the Warriors in a seven-game series, or we will beat the Warriors in a seven-game series. So obviously, word of that got back to Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant, more or less, this is an interesting comment. He said, it's guys like Capella that say stuff like that. Guys that get a putback or two a couple times a game. Dudes like CP and Harden that's doing the real work, the heavy lifting, the guys that know how hard it is, they never say stuff like that. Then he went on to say, it's always guys like Clint Capella who get a couple points here and there that's just role players that say stupid beep like that.
What did you think of it? What did you think of the comments?
I thought it was brilliant.
it was brilliant, but I mean, Kevin Durant's got his own issues too. I mean,
you're right, he does.
He really does. Uh-huh. I mean, we can make comments on him as well.
Yeah, no doubt. Kevin Durant is a mama's boy, you know.
But can we go back one second with this Western Conference? Sure. Like the Pelicans now. Okay, Jay, it's Boogie end of the year. They're going to lock him up. What can they do to maybe take a next step?
I think they need another scorer on the wing. And they need a wing scorer that they can go to.
I agree with that. Because you have the two big guys, obviously. Yeah. You have the point guard. You need a wing scorer.
They need a scorer on the wing that they can go to in clutch moments. Somebody that can slash. Somebody that can get to the basket. Somebody that can pour in 20 points a game when the big men are dealing with injuries or foul trouble, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think that's what they need.
I agree with that. What did you think, Matt, of Kevin Durant calling out Clint Capella?
I mean, I'm fine with it. But, I mean, Kevin Durant wants to, you know, call people out. That's all good. And he does kind of have a point. But, you know, when people call him out for some of his shenanigans, you know, he's got to be able to take it as well. You want to dish it, you got to take it.
I know. I understand that. I understand that. But
he made the point. He did make the point about, you know, CP and Harden.
Sure.
And he's 100% right.
Clint Capella's having a good year, though. It's not just all putbacks.
He's taking a shot at him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's you know.
He's taking a shot, obviously. I think that Durant, you're right. I think he's just so fed up by everything about him that he's just like, screw this.
Yeah. He should just be like, you know what? He should be like, I'm a great player.
Yeah.
I'm on a great team. Mm-hmm. I have a championship. I'll probably get another championship. Mm-hmm. And stop worrying about what everybody else is thinking.
Right? That's the thing about it. He's so
concerned. You have a great so life.
Yeah. You have he's a great
so sensitive.
Life.
Yeah, he's so very sensitive.
You're absolutely right.
You know, his girlfriend is all that Rosalind lady.
Who?
The sideline reporter?
Really?
That's his girlfriend. The girl from Long Island.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's
Kevin Durant's girlfriend, yeah.
Interesting. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, it's amazing. We spent 35 minutes talking about the dysfunction of the NBA, and we haven't even gotten to Cleveland. We will when we come back here on Roto Experts.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So as I said, we had gone through 35 minutes of basketball talk and didn't even mention the dysfunction in Cleveland, which, you know, again, as seemingly always, is dysfunctional.
But LeBron put it all on himself.
We get there. So, Kevin Love left Saturday night early. That pissed all of the people off in Cleveland. All of his teammates. And he's like, dude, I was sick. I was wanted to puke, blah, blah, blah. And they go over so well. Isaiah Thomas being back, evidently he's talking a little bit. They continue to lose. LeBron's being LeBron. Now he's got his boy D. Wade with him, which probably isn't good. What's going on in Cleveland, Corey?
It's a lot going on in Cleveland right now. But see, this is so typical of LeBron James teams. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
They tend to always have this kind of dissension and stuff like that. then they right the ship, and you know, they're back in game seven.
Well, it's LeBron. Yeah. And it, like, I think, you know, as he does get older and stuff, you have to manage your body throughout the season and all this. But all this, if LeBron would have committed to Cleveland would not be in this situation. They'd have a much better team, and I don't think people would have defected, and maybe some other people would have come to the team. Maybe, you know, you don't lose a Kyrie, or maybe a Jimmy Butler would have been open to coming to the Cavs.
So, exactly, because of the situation with LeBron. So now this latest thing that they got going on, this thing with Kevin Love. Apparently Kevin Love wasn't feeling well. He left the team, whatever. And then the team had that real nasty loss over the weekend. And everybody, like, blamed Kevin Love. One of the things that they've been doing in Cleveland since Kevin Love has got there, it's been blaming Kevin Love. You feel what I'm saying? That situation where you're blaming Kevin Love, I think Tyronn Lue is squarely on the hot seat right now. I think LeBron is going to see to that. I think LeBron probably already has one foot out the door. Look at that roster. J.R. Smith starting to revert back to being J.R. Smith, and he's an older J.R. Smith. Tristan Thompson got this Kardashian thing going on. Say what you want to about it. That's not a good look, right? You know, that's not a good look when you're a professional athlete. Ending up on that program, you know what they're about. So you got that going down. The situation with LeBron, you know his annual break is coming. You got All-Star weekend coming up. You got Isaiah Thomas just getting back. Apparently he's chirping. But it was supposedly a very loud, intense meeting where, you know, grievances got aired and stuff like that. A lot of people put the blame on Kevin Love. Kevin Love more or less was able to calm everybody down and kind of get people to come to his side. A lot of people don't know what Isaiah is doing there. It's a lot going on in Cleveland right now. But the thing about it is, this is what happens in Cleveland with LeBron James teams. And at the end of the year, they're going to be going against the winner of the Western Conference. Oh, well, this year is different because Boston's rough this year.
Boston.
But they'll be in the Eastern Conference Finals. You better believe that.
So maybe this is a stupid question. But, like, why?
Hmm?
Why?
It's LeBron James.
Why is he causing so much chaos?
It's LeBron James.
I'll say this about J.R. Reed. When things are good, it's like the best of times.
J.R. Smith.
It's like the best of times. When things go south, it's like the worst of times.
He's a feast of famine type guy. I worry about Swaggy P being a J.R. Smith to my Golden State Warriors.
The problem is with LeBron, I think Matt kind of alluded to it, was that, like, he wants everyone to get paid. Like, when he made
Tristan Thompson
get 5 years and $80 million. Mm-hmm. And Cleveland's like, wait, we don't want
to
do this.
And they gave a max contract to Tristan Thompson.
Tristan Thompson, who plays 16 minutes
doesn't
a game.
Doesn't even average a double-double.
Nope.
Nowhere near it.
Not even close.
Yeah, this is Tristan Thompson. Don't get me wrong. When in the playoffs, you need a body like Tristan Thompson to get on there and bang boards.
So Tristan Thompson, this is horrible. On the year, Tristan Thompson is averaging, on the season, 19 minutes a game, 5.2 points per game, 5.9 rebounds per game.
And you know, when you give a player of that caliber a max contract, you know what they do? They date Kardashians.
You're right. The fact is, we knew Tristan Thompson shouldn't make that money. Tristan Thompson knew he shouldn't make that money.
But LeBron wanted his homeboy to get paid.
But LeBron wanted his homeboy to get paid. LeBron wanted Dwayne Wade to go play next to me. Yeah, we'll go get you Dwayne Wade. No problem. Nothing's making all that money.
J.R. Smith's his guy.
J.R. Smith, yeah, come on in. He didn't want Kyrie anymore? Fine, we'll get you Isaiah Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one that made him trade Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Love?
Yeah.
And Kevin Love has been literally just beaten up ever since he got there.
Ever since he got there. Everything that goes wrong with that team is Kevin Love. I mean, they won the chip. Kevin Love was amazing.
And now when things don't fit, I mean, he got David Blatt fired. Maybe David Blatt in Milwaukee.
Maybe that would be interesting.
Cool.
David Blatt fired.
Yeah, David Blatt fired.
Ty Lue was his guy.
Correct.
Got Ty Lue in there.
Correct.
And now he's probably going to send Ty Lue up out of there. They're talking about Eastern Conference Finals, mainly because the East is so weak. I can still see it. But the way it's set up right now, this team is not going to. I don't think they can beat the Boston Celtics in a 7-game series right now. And if you look at the guy everybody's talking about, DeAndre Jordan, DeAndre Jordan's another character. You don't want to put him on this team. They do have that first round draft pick from the Nets.
They can't trade that. The way this team's looking,
if they trade that, it has to be a franchise player. If LeBron makes the move, that it has to be a franchise player.
There is no franchise player they can go get with that.
You're right.
There's nothing like you don't do. You can't do it for Boogie because you can't re-sign Boogie. You don't have the money to do that.
Yeah.
So you there's nothing you can do. You need the first round pick because that's how you sustain, right?
But here's the thing. Lucky when they got Kyrie.
You're right.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. They really did.
They got lucky with Kyrie before LeBron came back. And then you have LeBron, and this is how you win.
LeBron said, oh, it's a piece there. Let me go over there.
And that's why I'll go to L.A.
And that's why you'll go to L.A. So you feel it's a piece there. You know,
I will say the one thing with LeBron, though. As much as like he really, I say he should have stayed in Cleveland, made that known and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I do want to see him in the Western Conference. So going to the Lakers.
But the only reason I think he may not is because like, he's going to be like, I don't want to deal with this crap.
I kind of think it kind of seems like he wants to. He wants to have that.
LeBron.
He wants to have that, you know,
him
time.
Being there.
Resurrect the, you know, the
Lakers.
The Lakers, the prestigious NBA franchise.
But you don't think. So I get it. And
I wouldn't want to deal with the father, though.
So I'm with you. I'm with you with LeBron, but like. You don't think Kobe that he's just like number one. I don't want to deal with it. This number two. I don't want to have to play Kobe's shadow. Like, I don't want to deal with it.
I mean, I get it. The Laker thing to me, the Laker thing would be. If I was him, I don't have to. He doesn't have to do the Laker thing. Then you feel what I'm saying?
I agree.
I think the Cleveland thing is coming to an end, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I was wanting to do the Nick thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
Phil Jackson burned that bridge.
Thanks, Phil. And then he's gone. You got to sit. The ownership in Madison Square Garden is terrible. He would go to Brooklyn before he would go to the Knicks.
Oh, that's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
That's an absolute fact.
And that's right there is a shame in itself. That's what that franchise has become right now. But I do think I think this is it. But listen, if you're Dan Gilbert and you look back and you could, if you would have saw this is how it was going to play out 3-4 years ago, this is how it's going to play. This is how it's going to come to an end with LeBron.
Yeah.
You would sign up for it.
Your championship.
Oh, there you go.
You got the championship.
There you go. You would sign up for it.
So David Blatt.
You would sign up for it David and be like, I'm going to have the worst team in the NBA in 4 years, but whatever.
It's not that quick and wrong, money.
Predatory lending money. Keep coming in.
So David Blatt went from coaching the Cavs to coaching some team in the Turkish League now. And he was fired 2 years ago yesterday. I don't know where that was.
Look at that.
The state sports history. He was fired 2 years ago yesterday with the best record in the Eastern Conference at 30-11.
You would think he'd be coaching the Lithuanian team.
Yeah, he might as well. That's where the money's at.
He had a much better record now at that time, 30-11, than the Cavaliers have 18 losses right now. Third in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, but like Corey says, come to playoffs, it's all really all that matters. You get everybody together, everybody's healthy.
Yeah, of course.
I forgot about the Raptors. The Raptors could put up a little bit of a fight.
I don't agree with that.
According to my Twitter line, this is a different Raptors team, and they're going to the finals.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're following too many Canadians.
Yes, I believe that to be true as well.
Yeah. And shout out to the Six.
This is the same old Canadian team. That's always been, I think.
And just to confirm, what is Drake's team? Because, I mean, he has a different team.
With the flavor of the month, that's Drake's team. I guess it's probably the Raptors, the Kentucky Wildcats. That's really all I can tell you. The Raptors and the Kentucky Wildcats are the only ones I can name out for certain. Yeah. That he would root for.
He's a big Laker fan too.
Yeah. You about to say he's always at the. He was at some random game he was at the other night, like a Grizzly game or something like that. I'm like, what's going? Why are you here? What's going on now here that you are here? He was at a random game the other night. Then he's always in my. I don't know. Before he got wherever he spent the night. Remember he spent the night with Odell when Odell had the surgery.
Sure.
Spent the night in the hospital with Odell. That's the ultimate fanboy right there. Well, when you got the money to be that kind of fanboy,
Must be nice.
Imagine, I'm going to go LeSean Watson tears ACL. I'm going to fly out there and come chill with you in the hospital.
Scott Russell Wilson.
I said, Russell, I'll be right out.
Need some more soup?
Yes.
In the first game without Jason Kidd last night, by the way, the Bucks won 109-105.
That always happens.
Without Giannis and without Jason Kidd.
They came back in that game, too.
They did. They did come back in that fourth quarter against, I mean, a terrible Suns team, don't get me wrong.
Huh?
Against a terrible Suns team.
Yeah. I didn't think that. When I saw the score going into the fourth, I was like, why are they losing to the Suns tonight?
Chris Middleton put up 35. Malcolm Brogdon put up 32.
That Suns team should probably, like, break off.
They have. They fired their coach 3 days into the season.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They should like break out of the NBA.
When I was in Arizona, first pitch, the sports talk radio out there and talk about the Suns. I was like, isn't this like a crap team?
It is.
They're very positive.
They are. When we come back on the Roto Experts, we're going to wrap up the basketball hour talking about Doc and Mike Woodson and Sam Cassell all getting teed up and thrown out of the game. Blake Griffin getting teed up. Everybody getting teed up for the Clippers. And they lost to Minnesota. We'll talk about that and, you know, some other games. We'll wrap up the hour right after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Clippers had some issues last night.
It's always something with the Clippers.
Had some issues.
Always something with the Clippers. Always.
Doc got thrown out. Mike Woodson got thrown out.
And then I think Sam Cassell got teed up, too.
He got teed up. Blake Griffin got a tee. A lot of tees to go around last night.
All right, so here's the thing.
The NBA
is going to have to figure something out. With these officials and the players and stuff like that. The officials are saying that the players have and the coaches have become increasingly rude nowadays.
Right.
That the players are very rude when they talk to the officials. The coaches are very rude when they talk to the officials, and that it's getting too carried away. It's almost like the officials feel like they're being intimidated when it comes to the players and the coaches in the NBA nowadays. When it comes to making these calls and stuff like that, players are quick to flip off. Swear words, stuff like that. Coaches, the same thing. The problem is, right? And I agree. If that's the case, it shouldn't be that way. The problem is when Kevin Durant goes to the official, flips off at him, later on in that game, Kevin Durant gets that call. See what I'm saying? So you can't say, okay, don't come at us like that. Don't do this. Don't do that. But then later on in the game, I give you that call that you asked for earlier in the game.
Right. The
referees can't have it both ways. You either got to be stern, down the middle, call it straight up, don't take no nonsense from the players, or, you know, if you're going to have the back and forth with the players, then don't give them the calls that they asked for down the stretch. That's it. The referees, I hate to put it on the refs because, you know, they're not like the millionaire employees that the coaches and the players are, but the referees have to make a decision on how they're going to govern the game. You can't get mad at the player for coming at you, but then in the second half, give him that call later on. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I don't know what the solution is, but you can't have your star players constantly attacking refs. And
yeah,
throw mouthpieces and stuff like that. I'm just saying, it's not a good look. And then, like you say, so if I'm the star player and I intimidate the ref in the first half, and I get that call in the second half,
why would I stop?
That's like that's like the conspiracy theory in the NFL with Tom Brady and the Patriots.
Yeah. It's like, why would I, if I'm getting these calls, why would I stop? So it's like, why would I stop doing that? So I think it's going, the commissioner is going to have to look at this in the offseason, and they're going to have to come up with some kind of rules of this, because it's getting a little bit too carried away right now with the referee. And then the referees try to be the star of the show, too.
Yeah, of course. Of course they do. The Timberwolves actually win without Jimmy Butler last night, who's been battling his knee injury. They win and get 40 points career high from Andrew Wiggins. They get 30 from Jeff Teague, who, what Doc was complaining about, had like more free throws all game than
the Jeff Teague had more free throws than the Clippers team until late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's correct. Bielitsa had 18-9. He got the start without Jimmy Butler. I thought that was big. And Carl Anthony Towns, 11-17. He was only 1 of 7 from the field. Held off by my guy, Montrezl Harrell, who had 23-6 in this one. Blake Griffin, the triple-double.
Yeah, Blake Griffin comes in and grabs that triple-double. Big-time victory for the T-Wolves right here to go in there, go into the clip joint, and get that win on the road without JB. So you definitely got to like the direction the Timberwolves are going in.
Yeah, I mean, Griffin was great last night, but then when the game was on the line, he kind of had a miscue.
Portland fell to Denver in Denver last night, 104-101. It was a revenge game for Joseph Nurkic. And Joseph Nurkic puts up a nice big double-double of 19-12. He also contributed 3 blocks. He was motivated in this one. Dame at 25. CJ McCollum just 12. Evan Turner had 10. For Denver, Jamal Murray, a career-high 38.
That's
points,
crazy.
6 assists, 5 and 5 rebounds. Nikola Jokic, 16-12-5 in the victory for Denver.
Yeah, nothing really to see here. Denver Nuggets go out there, get this victory over Portland at home. Kind of expected that. I just wish Dame was on a better team.
Yeah, I know. When we come back, top stories, more coaching changes in the NFL, get some baseball too. Hour number 3 is on the way right after this.